Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. It is wonderful to be here tonight. You know, we can have our little times at home, and that's wonderful too. But even though we are very small in number here tonight, I know the Lord is here. Praise the Lord. Oh my, you know, we can give it all to Him when we worship Him. It's a wonderful thing to sing praises unto our God, to worship Him. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that last song, Jesus said that according to your faith be it unto you. And you know, sometimes we in our thinking limit God in reality. But I was just recalling, a month ago or so maybe, I was talking to a good friend and you know, it just happened. I suppose I was lamenting such and such, and you know, he happens to remind me how it is that we can claim the promises of God. Praise the Lord. We can claim our family. We can, you know, believe that it's, you know, God knows how to save our households and our friends, our loved ones, our spouses, our mothers, our fathers. You know, God knows how to do it. And, you know, sometimes we just get this frame of mind and we just, you know, kind of, I don't know if it's a give up sort of emotion or whatever all. But, you know, God knows how to reach down and save to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, it is time for God's people to come alive. It is time for us to start believing Him with all our hearts and trusting in His promises and giving things over to the Lord and just letting Him do the work. You know, there might not be even any clues that it could happen. But God is so beyond that. We serve an amazing God, and He knows how to speak the word and bring it forth. Oh, yes, that's what He has done, and that's what He will continue to do. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the reminder there was from Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were before the jailer there, and he was, you know, ready to take his life because he assumed that all the prisoners had fled after that earthquake that the Lord sent, that is. But praise the Lord, you know, those two, Paul and Silas, answered when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And, you know, the answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And you know, I'm so glad that was all added like that. And of course, you know, there's initial believing in the Lord, and then there's the obedience to that belief. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. But you know, it was a remarkable thing because, yes, not only was that jailer brought to the Lord, but his family was brought to the Lord. And praise the Lord, I believe that's what faith can do. You know, when we give our loved ones to God, when we, you know, we turn it over to the Lord and let Him work. He knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. And yeah, that is such a wonderful example there in the Word of God. Praise the Lord, you know. And that was a wonderful story because, yes, that same hour of the night after that initial word that was given to the jailer, you know, they were taken, Paul and Silas, out of their prison, and they were washed of their stripes, and they had that opportunity to baptize that jailer and his household. Praise the Lord, and to exhort them and to teach them what they needed to know, the words of life. Praise the Lord, but that's our God. Praise the Lord, and let's believe Him. This is a new year. This is a new decade. And, you know, we could imagine that horrible things could be happening. Oh, there's always potential for that. But praise the Lord, we serve a wonderful God, and He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows the cries. He knows the needs. He knows how to answer if we will fervently believe in Him and bring those needs to Him. He knows how to do it. Praise the Lord, He hears those cries. No, yes, he sees our works, and praise the Lord. We have these wonderful moments to yet believe in the Lord and to trust in his promises. And, oh yes, to go forward and see what the Lord will yet do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we might as well believe big. You know, we're going to believe something. You know, Pastor David used to say that. You know, we're going to believe something. We might as well believe big. You know, we might as well expect great things. We might as well look on the positive side and just begin to trust God like we've never trusted him before. Praise the Lord. That's our God, and he's looking for people that have faith and will show faith and will respond to faith and go forward and believe him and do his will. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our mighty God. What a privilege to know him and to serve him. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another year. Oh, God, we thank you for more time. Oh, God, and the fact that we can gather here together, Lord, online. Oh, Lord, however, Lord, you put us together, Lord. But we just thank you, God, for I know you call forth your people, Lord. Oh, God, and you've given us ears to hear and a mind to perceive and a desire to go forth and do your will, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, oh God, that you'd touch us. I pray that you'd give us faith. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that those mountains would be removed in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, that you teach us, Lord, that you instruct us, oh Lord. Oh God, that you give us faith. Faith like we've never had before, Lord, to go forward and to do your will. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Pray that you go with me. Oh, go with all, Lord. Talk to us, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you'd speak, oh Lord, and that you'd use these words in the name of Jesus, Lord. For surely I could do nothing without you. But I ask, oh Lord, that you'd have your way, Lord. Oh God, let the devil be rebuked. Oh God, let all the doubts and the fears be rebuked in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you'd give us faith. Oh God, that you'd help us to take hold of faith, Lord, tonight. And oh God, to believe you, Lord, to rest in thy promises, O Lord, and to put them in our hearts. Oh God, I thank you in the precious name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I was studying last night, and I had an entirely different message than what came to me today. So, oh, praise the Lord. Our God knows how to do it. We can surely trust in him. Amen. Praise our God. Let's call this message, Watch and Pray. Praise our God. I know here it is, as we've already said, we are entering a new year, a new decade, in fact. And, you know, these have been very strange times that we have watched these last few years. The last decade, indeed, has brought great changes and not many that seemed very good in many ways. But praise the Lord, you know, it all is bringing us closer to the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, his return has been a message that I've heard from the days of my youth. That expectancy, I remember talking to my English teacher my senior year in high school and just saying, you know, I'm almost amazed. I wasn't sure that I was really going to make it through this. You know, I've been expecting the Lord to come. And praise the Lord. Yeah, the Lord got me through that high school year and the time beyond that. And you know, here we are. Many, many years beyond that. But praise the Lord, it's as true as it was in the days when the apostles walked this earth and Paul walked this earth. Oh yes, when the word of God was written as epistles to the brethren. Praise the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And Jesus spoke of it so often. But here we are. many years beyond that initial time when it was spoken, but it is so true tonight, and we've got to be so much closer. Oh, it's got to be at the door. Oh my, and it is time, I believe, for us to stir up our pure minds. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to some scripture as we begin here tonight. Let's begin by going to 2 Peter, the third chapter here. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Second letter of Peter. There, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 1. It begins by saying, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Oh my, you know, it seems like there was an attitude back then in the days of Peter and the other apostles. There were those skeptics that, you know, didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ would return to this world. But so it is, even at this point, there are many people that might think maybe someday and have put it off down the road many, many years. I recall speaking to people who, you know, just, you know, you bring up the coming of the Lord and, you know, you just get this blank look, or you get this, you know, this comment that, you know, oh, well, that would be, you know, many years. It's not going to be my lifetime. You know, it's good, many years down the road and all that sort of thing. But one of these days, it is going to be a reality. One of these days, our Lord is going to come, and he's not going to tarry any longer, and he's going to come quickly. Oh, he's going to come unannounced. It's going to take many people unaware. They're not going to be expecting him. The scripture says that it's going to be as a snare, as a trap, as he comes upon the face of this earth. And so many people are not going to be looking and watching and expecting him to come. Oh, indeed, we are warned in Luke, the 21st chapter. I do plan to go back to 2 Peter to finish that thought, but Luke, the 21st chapter, we are told that there is a need to take heed to ourselves. We look at verse 34, it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." And you know, we can all fall in that trap at times. You know, the cares of life can be pretty heavy at times. Then there are moments that, you know, maybe the fun making or the parties or other activities just kind of just take the surface and just, you know, drag our thoughts with them. And we certainly wouldn't want to be in the category of being drunken. Oh yes, those that are drunken, you know, don't really know reality quite often. But there is a warning here, a need to take heed and to be guarded, that our hearts would not be overcharged in such a way, overloaded or filled to a great capacity, so that, you know, these things would be coming upon us unaware. And then it's explained in verse 35. "For as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." And then there is a need. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And oh, if there was a need for them to be watchful, how much more as we are these many centuries down the road from the time when this letter was written. Oh, there is a great need, yes, that we would be right with the Lord, that we would be watching, and that we would be praying always, guarded, our hearts right with the Lord, and you know, truly mindful of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. But Peter wrote of such, oh, as he was speaking there in that third chapter of 2 Peter, you know, the skeptics again asking, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But I think they forgot some things. I think, oh yes, their minds just kind of skipped over some details that were very necessary to understand. Verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Oh yeah, there was that time of judgment in the day of Noah. Oh, that preacher of righteousness. Oh yes, but how many people listened? How many people heeded? How many people got on that ark? No, I think they all mocked. I think they were all scoffers. I think they just thought he was a crazy old man. But nevertheless, God's word is true, and what he declared, what he had told Noah, came to pass, didn't it? Oh, yes, and the water that then was overflowed with water, and they perished. They perished. But now, this earth has another appointment. Oh, yes, and it speaks of it here in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, yes, the heavens and the earth have an appointment. Oh, yes, there's a reservation that is made by Almighty God. There's this appointment. It's reserved to fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, that day when God judges this world. And oh, yes, the judgment seat of Christ is opened up and all stand before him. Yes, that appointment that this earth has. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, we see the mighty long suffering of our God. Oh, his great desire that this world would be reached. Oh, yes, that all that would be called would come unto the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, his long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, yes, that appointed time that he will judge the world in righteousness. But yes, there is that moment, yes, when he will come to an end. Yet we see that the hand of God is extended at this moment. It's waiting for those, the precious fruit of the earth, to bring them in. Oh, yes, to see the salvation of their souls. And, you know, I've heard people say so many times, I don't know why the Lord hasn't come yet. I wish he would come. But maybe it's your loved one that isn't ready. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Oh my, maybe it's the man across the street. Oh, there are people yet out there that yet need to be reached. And the Lord is merciful. He is long-suffering. And oh yes, He's reaching out yet for those that have yet not come to Him and repented and turned their lives over to the living God. Oh, it tells us in James, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. See, it's the same kind of thought here. There's one, the husbandman of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting for the completion of the harvest. Oh yes, the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it. He's waiting, yes, till the early rain is in. And the latter rain is in. Praise the Lord, till it is complete, the harvest is complete. Verse 8 tells us here in James 5, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, there is a great need at this time. Oh, yes, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, oh, that need for us to be patient. And also to establish our hearts. Oh, yes, to settle all in our hearts so that when that day does come, we can be counted worthy to enter in. Oh, yes, to be accepted of Him at that moment when He comes in. Oh, to receive His children. Oh, yes, to stand before Him. And yes, to be counted worthy. Praise the Lord. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. And how much more at this very moment, as we are down to what I believe is the latter moments of time. Oh, how we need, oh yes, to think upon the need to be right with God. Praise the Lord. I know Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 27 and 28 tell us clearly. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. These scriptures say so much. But yes, we all have that appointment with death. But after death, there is the judgment. God Almighty knowing this, oh, praise the Lord for His plan. That 28th verse there in Hebrews 9 tells us how He was once offered to bear the sins of many. Oh, praise the Lord, making Himself available to take away the sins of the world. And praise the Lord, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, wonderful, wonderful realization that is. But His people are looking for Him. They are watching for Him. Oh yes, that is the hope of their heart. And that is the expectation that the same Jesus that all went away will so come back in like manner. Just as He ascended into the heavens, so will He descend one day unto this earth, praise the Lord, to come, yes, to gather His people and also to judge this world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us opportunity here tonight, oh yes, to make haste, oh, to give our hearts to the Lord, to turn everything over to God. We still have time. Oh yes, oh, that Lord of the harvest is patiently waiting and extending himself so that, oh yes, many can still come to him. Praise the Lord, the great hope of our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Mark. And we're going to look at the 13th chapter there in the book of Mark. We could go to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 24 and Mark 13 are quite similar. But I just felt like we needed to go to Mark, the 13th chapter this time. And we may just do some back and forth here a little bit. We'll see how the Lord leads. Praise the Lord with all of this. But here in the 13th chapter of Mark, it tells us in the first verse, "And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And it does just add a little more detail in some places there in that 24th chapter of Matthew. But it does seem that they were marveling at the temple at this point and all the buildings that were connected with that. And I'm sure they were very magnificent. And it was a marvel, really, to look upon. But Jesus was going to bring out a very important detail here. It tells us in verse 2, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And of course, this was quite a thought, because here they were gazing at this magnificent building and marveling at it. But I imagine it was quite a startle when Jesus said, you know, there's going to be this time when, you know, there's not going to be left one stone upon another. Oh my, it was a huge edifice, and many, many, many stones all compiled there together to build it. But Jesus was telling of a moment when it all was going to be brought down, and there wouldn't even be one stone upon another at that moment. It would all be cast down. It would all be thrown down. And so they're marveling at this. Tells us in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And I am going to just have us note Matthew 24, the third verse here, because it just includes a little bit more there in that third verse in chapter 24 of Matthew. It says in Matthew 24, 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Okay, so there are different questions that are asked here, and I think it's important to note them. And of course, Jesus has just made that comment about the temple, that time would come and there would not be one stone upon another. It all was going to be thrown down. All the stones were going to be thrown down. So, wow, they're wondering about that. And then they go on to ask, "And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So we have different things going on here. And Jesus is going to answer. Praise the Lord. And there are other places too. Luke, the 21st chapter, also goes along with this. We'll just see how the Lord leads in all of this. But back here in Mark, the 13th chapter, verse 5, "Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. So he's telling them that this is going to be over a period of time. And first of all, you know, I want you to take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus well knew that there'd be all kinds of philosophies of men and all kinds of teachings, all kinds of religions, and oh my, all kinds of thoughts on this subject. And I'd say even so it is at this moment, and I would think very much even more so. But anyway, he goes on to say that many would come in the name and declare that they were the Christ, that they were he that was to come, and that also would deceive many. And Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars, and he told them not to be troubled, because it's just going to be a matter of fact. It's going to happen. It must needs be, he said. But the end shall not be yet. Verse 8 tells us, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Of course, I believe we are seeing an acceleration of such things at this moment. And oh yes, we've seen earthquakes like never before as the coming of the Lord Jesus draws nigh. We've seen wars. We've seen nations rising against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms. That 20th century saw World War I and World War II. And you know, I know that was before my time, but yet it exemplifies all these things that must come to pass before the coming of the Lord. But Jesus went on to say, in verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Of course, that happened even in the time of the apostles. Paul also experienced that tremendously. We know just from the recording there in the book of Acts that he was brought before Felix. He was brought before Festus. He was brought before Agrippa. And yes, he went to Rome to be brought before Caesar. So Jesus was foretelling all of this here in that ninth verse. And then verse 10 says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, in the midst of all of this, in the Lord's agenda, oh, yes, there was a need that the gospel would go out and reach the world. Oh, yes, that people from all corners of the world would be reached by the glorious gospel and be made participants of the kingdom of God. Oh, I think that is such a wonder that, oh yes, the Lord has a people. And it wasn't, you know, he didn't, you know, just put them all in one place. Or it wasn't going to be for just one time, one race, one background, but it was going to be for all manners of people. So that is at the time of his glorious coming of his kingdom, oh my, there were going to be people that would be represented from all the four corners of the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I like how it declares in Revelation, the 14th chapter. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows those that are His, and He knows how to make a way to reach His people, no matter where they are. Praise the Lord. The glorious gospel goes out to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, and that cry, declaring with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Oh, praise the Lord, I believe, yes, there is a need tonight. And I'm so thankful that nothing can stop the Lord from His work. Praise the Lord, they've tried, you know, by persecuting the Church of the Living God. Oh, yes, we see that all that aspect was tried, even in the book of Acts, even in the very early church. And to this day, there is persecution in this world. But in spite of that, persecution does not stop God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We understand that there are more Christians in China in the underground churches than in those that you can see physically. Praise the Lord. Our God knows how to bring forth the gospel, how to put it within His people. And oh, yes, how to bring it forth. And what a wonder it is. But there is a need. The gospel must first be published among all nations. And Paul did a remarkable job, as we know, that he reached the known world in his time. And yes, that's, you know, the time before they had all these ways of communicating that we have today. But we see that God is not limited. Oh, He knows how to do it. He is not restricted by any means. He knows how to reach and how to answer, how to do things that seem impossible to man. But that's our Almighty God, and we must never limit Him. Praise the Lord. It tells us here in Mark 13, verse 11, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." And that's a wonderful gift too, to think that the Lord would give us the words that we need at such an hour. He would bring them forth out of our own mouths. Praise the Lord. And I've seen Him work like that. I know what it's like. Something, you know, you put on the spot and you need an answer, and you know it comes from the Lord. It's, you know, not from your own brain, except that the Lord somehow uses it and brings it out. He brings those words to mind. Praise the Lord. But it goes on to tell us in verse 12, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Oh, that's a wonder, isn't it? Oh, yes, it tells us in Matthew 24, I'm just going to read just a couple verses here. It says in verse 12 here in Matthew 24, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." And it is so true. We are in an endurance race. Oh, some people start out so swiftly. You know, they, oh, just come to the Lord, and it's a radical change, and oh, it's a wonderful change, but it doesn't last. Somehow the cares of the world or persecution or the cause for riches or whatever all devours them at some point. But thank God for those that have it deep in their hearts, whose roots go deep into the Word of God. And they become established in the Word of God. And praise the Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what comes at us, that endurance until the end. And here's that promise. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14 here in Matthew 24 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I believe even to this moment the gospel is going out there. Oh, yes, we hear of people that the Lord calls even by giving them dreams and helping them to realize things that they never could have realized otherwise, that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, that indeed he is God manifested in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Anointed One. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to get a hold of the hearts of his people, to call them forth. Praise the Lord. Our God knows how to help us. But it goes on to tell us here, there's this other part of the question here that was initially asked, you know, when shall these things be that Jesus was speaking of, pertaining there to the temple and that time when there would no longer be one stone left upon another. He begins to talk about this in the 14th verse here. It says in verse 14 here in Mark chapter 13, but when he shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter. I do believe this portion of scripture here, verses 14 through 18, refer to the time when Jerusalem was compassed about with the Roman army and laid siege to. And it was quite a marvel. Those that understood what Jesus had said here had an opportunity to get out. And this is quite a marvel because, yes, Titus came and surrounded the city. And for some reason, all at once, he left. But those that knew these words that had been spoken by the Lord Jesus realized that this was the abomination of desolation that had been spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And yes, obviously they'd gone into the temple and there was some desecration and they could see all these things beginning to happen. But the Lord gave them opportunity there in 70 AD, and the Christians, those that understood, were able to get out and flee to the mountains. Praise the Lord. Jesus had forewarned them so they knew what to do and where to go. Oh, praise the Lord for the wonderful words of life and how God helped them. But yes, the Romans came back. And this time they took the city. And oh yes, they destroyed that temple. And it was just as Jesus had declared. It was taken apart, stone upon stone. It was all taken down. They plundered it completely. They wanted whatever they could get because, yes, the soldiers were going to be paid from what they could take. And so they greedily just took everything that they possibly could. But that temple was taken apart, and those goodly stones, those beautiful stones, that beautiful edifice was no longer in existence, just as Jesus had prophesied. Praise the Lord. But then he goes on to say things pertaining to the end of the world, that other part of the question. Remember, there are three parts, as it tells us in Matthew 24, when those initial things would happen, when the temple would be destroyed, and then the sign of Jesus' return, his coming, and the sign of the end of the world. It tells us in verse 19, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." It tells us in verse 21, "And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not." And Matthew 24 does elaborate just a little bit more. It tells us, you know, in that warning, if they should say, "Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not." You know, and these are important things to know, because these verses pertain to us. We need to be warned. Our Savior is coming back again, but it's going to be at a time of great deception, great trouble. And yes, we are warned that except that days would be shortened, that no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, God is going to shorten those days. Oh, we know that if we have looked at that agenda that the UN has written up for 2030, that, you know, indeed, it would be a horrible world. It would be a world that would be strictly controlled and given over to the powers of the one world government. But I don't believe all that's going to happen. I believe that our Lord is going to shorten the days, and everything they planned is not going to come to fruition. And praise the Lord, we have his promises here that those days would be shortened for the elect's sake. And praise the Lord, we are warned here, if they come forth, they come forth with their antichrist and their false prophet, and we're seeing the makings of it all at this point. We've seen so many things in the making right now at this moment. But if they say, "Lo, here is Christ," oh, we are told very distinctly to believe him not, whoever declared it. Or, yes, he's in the secret chambers. Or he's in the desert. Oh, no, we must not give heed by any means. We must not listen. You know, it tells us in Matthew 24, verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Oh, praise the Lord, he's going to appear in the sky. Praise the Lord, and it's going to be, oh, so magnificent and so powerful and, oh, and so unbelievable that every eye is going to see him. Oh, and you know, we know it's going to be such a happenstance that, oh yes, there'll be no mistake. Oh, as those skies open up and, oh, we see our Savior, as we see our God, as, you know, we realize that his coming is now upon us. Oh, what a marvel it's going to be. Oh yes, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen, as it tells us in Revelation, the first chapter, in verse 7. Praise the Lord. And then we're warned in verse 22 here in Mark 13, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect." And this is something too to contemplate and take heed to, because it tells us clearly, yes, that there's going to be so many manifestations that are believable. So many people are going to go after them. You know, even false Christ and false prophets rising. and, you know, deceiving many, because signs and wonders are going to follow them. It's going to be a very seducing spirit, and many are going to be taken in that trap and seduced by the powers that be. Their cunning, their devices, their words, their signs and their wonders. But here we are told to take heed. Oh yes, oh God knows the day and the hour. But we are told to watch. We are told to pray. Jesus continued to say in verse 23, "But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the outermost part of heaven." All very important scriptures here, because they tell us the sequence of events. Oh yes, we see a rising antichrist scenario here, and deceivers and deceptions, false Christ, false prophets showing signs and wonders, and oh, so seducing that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. And it's going to be tribulation. Oh yes, this earth has known much tribulation, but oh, I believe these are going to be very harsh times. We are seeing such things beginning to come to pass even right now. But just as our Savior is returning to this earth, it tells us, and this is recorded in many places, even in the Old Testament, that the sun is going to be darkened and the moon is not going to give her light. And the stars of heaven are going to fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Oh my, this is going to be impossible to not know this. And it tells us, yes, then after these things are coming upon this present earth, then shall I see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Oh yes, every eye is going to observe this. Oh, the power, the magnificence of our Savior as he comes, not this time to seek and to save, but this time to judge. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, here he comes. Oh yes, to receive his children, to gather them together. He tells us, yes, at this point, yes, when he is coming, when he is returning, praise the Lord, that second coming of our Savior as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh yes, those that are in heaven and those that are in earth, he's going to call his people together. At that point, there is going to be a finality to this moment. His angels are going to gather his children from four winds, in other words, from all directions of this earth, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. That gathering together of the people of God. Oh, that moment when it happens. Oh, praise the Lord. And we see the sequence of events. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As God is putting an end to this world, that appointment that it has with his final destination and the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, here it comes to pass. It tells us in Mark, the 4th chapter, just a few verses here that I think are very interesting. here as Jesus was telling parables to exemplify the kingdom of God. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 26, Jesus said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I believe this exemplifies the coming of the Lord. Oh, there's that time of sowing. There's that time of reaping. And he's showing it, as you know, as the sower brings forth, he plants seed into the earth. And then that watching as the blade comes up out of the earth. And then the ear after that. And then finally, the full corn in the ear, the fruit, in other words, comes forth from that blade. And if you're a farmer, if this is your harvest, then when it's ripe, you're going to reap it, right? And that's exactly what Jesus is saying about the time of the end of the world. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Oh yes, that time when, yes, the husbandman who has been waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, as we read there from James the 5th chapter, and hath long patience for it. Oh, that time has now come when everything is ready. Everything is ripe. The harvest is complete. It is full. The Lord of the harvest, he's not going to hesitate. He's going to put forth the sickle at that time and reap the harvest. I believe that's what we're seeing here in this 13th chapter of the book of Mark. Oh yes, when it's time, when the Son of Man is seen coming in the clouds with great power and glory, then he sends forth his angels to gather forth his elect. Oh, what a day that is going to be. From the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming back. He's coming back to gather his children together. But it's going to be such a moment when he comes. It's going to be unmistakable. It's not going to be a secret rapture as some expect. But oh my, it's going to be a loud, noisy event, the coming of the Lord, as he gathers his people together. It tells us in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when it speaks of this event, that all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And again, yet, as it tells us in Matthew 24, likewise, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the last trump. That's the trump of God as it sounds. Oh, yes, to bring everything to its final end, to gather forth his people and to reap the earth. Oh, praise the Lord, that day is coming. Oh, we don't know the day or the hour. But as we continue here in Mark, this 13th chapter, Jesus said in verse 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. We need to be watching all these events that are coming upon the face of the earth. We need to be guarded. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. They all are clues that our Lord is coming back. Oh, yes. We don't know the day or the hour, but oh yes, we could tell the season. We can tell that it is getting close to that moment when he shall again appear. Oh yes, when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. Well, here we are, almost midnight, so to speak. We just saw a decade end. We just saw the end of a year, and oh my, so many things unfolded in this last decade and even in the last year. So many things that indicate that the coming of our Lord is nigh at hand. Oh yes, that day is forthcoming. Yet that tendency so often is for people to, you know, just forget it and to just kind of let it go to let it pass. Oh, I've heard this so many times. It's been so many years forgetting. But you know, there is a need at this moment. Because as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, Paul is writing to that church of Thessalonica. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now we realize that, yes, his coming is at hand, and yes, one of these days he is going to come and not tarry. Oh yes, that harvest, when it's ripe, the sickle is going to be put in to reap this earth, in figurative language, that is. And this earth is going to be reaped. Praise the Lord, that's going to be the end. The harvest is going to be complete. Everything is going to be brought in. And it will be that moment, that final moment when, you know, it could be sad. As it tells us in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, praise the Lord. That door of salvation is still open. Oh, yes. There still is that call coming forth, the Spirit and the bride. Do you hear that call tonight? Do you hear that call? That voice that calls to your soul. That voice that says, Come. Come and drink of the waters of life. Come, all ye that thirst. Oh, come ye. Oh, yes, the desire, the living water. Oh, that voice that says, Come. Oh, he that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Oh, that call is still going out. But the day of his coming is at hand. And as we read there, we don't know the exact moment when our Savior is going to come. Oh, it could be at even, an evening, in other words. Or it could be at midnight. Or it could be time of the cock crowing, the early morning, or in the morning, or God knows, it could be any time. But the great need is that we would be watching. Because our Savior is like unto one that took a long journey, a far journey. He left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. He's talking about his people. He's talking about his children. You know, yes, Jesus left us, but he also promised to return. Oh, yes, in the same manner in which he left, he is going to return. But in the meantime, he gave assignments to his people. He gave authority to his servants. He gave commitments to his people that we might go forth and labor in his vineyard while there is yet time. Oh, yes, to do whatever we can for the cause of our Savior. Every one of us has an assignment. Every one of us has his work. We're all commanded to go forth and do what he has called us to do. Because one of these days, he's going to call. He's going to return. He's going to be back. It's going to be over. That time that has been appointed will come forth. And how needful it is that we be watching, because we don't know the exact time of his coming. But yet, it is incumbent upon us to be watching, to be praying, to have our lamps trimmed and burning, to have our hearts guarded. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, that day will come when he puts in the sickle to reap this earth, to gather forth his people. Oh, yes, to call them all in. Tells us in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 35. It says in verse 35, Hebrews chapter 10, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. See, it's going to be over at that moment. Oh, yes, the harvest is ripe. Oh, yes, and the earth has brought forth as it is the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And, oh, yes, it's time to gather in the harvest. Oh, yes, so that moment, he that will come shall come and will not tarry. Tells us here as this chapter ends, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, yes, so important. Oh, yes, we live by faith. But we must not draw back. Oh, this is no time to draw back. This is no time to give up. This is no time to get discouraged. Oh, this is time to work like we've never worked before. Oh, we may have but a little time to labor for the Lord, to do his will, to be faithful servants. Because, yes, that moment is coming when that he that will come, shall come, and will not tarry. Oh, yes, the curtain will be drawn. The harvest will be reaped. The sickle will be cast in. Oh, yes, it will be over. It will be over. Oh, yes, that moment when he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, our Lord is coming. He is coming back to this earth. And praise the Lord, we're so, we're so privileged to know that his coming draws nigh. And we have these warnings, the Word of God, all these words of exhortation that we've been given, so that we can be watching, so that we can be waiting, so that we can be praying, oh, so that we can be ready for that moment, for that return of our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, as we are told, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, yes, let's take heed. Oh, yes, let's give it our best. Let's work while it is day. That night is going to come when no man can work. And, oh, yes, it's so incumbent upon us to work while it is yet day, while we yet have opportunity. Oh, while there's still a little bit of time to go forth and do the Lord's work. Oh, let us labor like we've never labored before. Let us watch like we've never watched before. For surely our Lord will come and not tarry. Praise the Lord. Stir up your minds. Remember this. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. We need you, God. I pray that you would stir up our hearts. Oh, God, that you'd, oh, help us, oh, God, to be watchful. Help us to be waiting. Help us to be working. Help us to be doing your will, Lord. Oh, God, for that moment will come when you will come and not tarry. Oh, help us in the name of Jesus, I ask. Stir our hearts and help us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So praise your holy name, Lord. We love you, God. Stir our hearts and help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, God. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 86 and sing, I'm Going to Work and Watch and Pray. Number 86. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, hallelujah. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.